Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. You've heard the stories about the Great Depression, the knock on the door, your grandmother staring up at a lanky fellow with hat in hand asking for food, or the sad gray woolen coats in bread lines. We like to think we've come a long way, but you might just fall off your chair if you knew how many Americans today rely on help to eat, to feed their kids, rely on food stamps. 10 million new people on the rolls in the last 2 years. People who never expected to be there. Millions more now eligible. 1 in 4 American children being fed by the U.S. government. This hour on Point, food stamps in America. You can join the conversation. Are you on food stamps for the first time? Why? And what does it say about our country that so many are? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will hear a lot of voices this hour, a supermarket manager, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, and more. But we start with Jason DeParle, who covers poverty and hunger issues for the New York Times and whose startling, powerful story laid out the explosion in food stamp use last Sunday. He joins us from Washington. Jason, welcome.
Hi, Tom.
The numbers are kind of overwhelming here. 1 in 8 Americans, 1 in 4, and the growth? What does the growth look like in recent years and right now?
That is an arresting statistic, isn't it? 1 out of 8
Holy
Americans
moly.
And 1 out of 4 kids. The program is growing by about 20,000 people a day.
And that means percentage-wise, what kind of growth have we seen?
It's up about a third in 2 years since the recession began nationwide.
Up a third.
Some states up by 75 or 80%. Nevada, Florida, places where the housing crisis has hit the hardest.
36 million Americans plus now on food stamps, and it could easily be another 10 or 15, 16 million beyond that.
One thing to remember is the program right now reaches only about two-thirds of the people who are eligible, with huge variation. In California, it's only about 50%. While in Missouri, it's really almost 98%. So there are, as high as the numbers are, there's plenty of room for the program still to grow.
What's the profile today of a person or family getting food stamps? How does it compare to the traditional, if that's the right word, profile?
Over the past 10 years, the education levels and employment levels of people coming onto the program have risen, which suggests that the program is reaching people typically can think of as further up the economic scale, if not quite middle class, closer to it. It's not just the chronically poor who are relying on the program. That had been a long-term trend even before the recession hit. With the recession, you're seeing lots and lots more people who have recent experience in the workforce, people who are first-time users coming onto the program.
And, of course, there'd been a lot of inner-city use for years, but you write about suburban use going right up and up. Give us the basics of the program itself. How does it work? It's not exactly stamps anymore, though it was literally for years. It's a plastic card now, like a credit card. And what goes on it, and how's it used?
Yeah, that's the switch over to an electronic benefit card may be one contributing factor to the higher numbers of people coming onto the rolls because it's eliminated some of the or at least reduced some of the stigma. You know, you're not quite so evident in the checkout line anymore when you pull out a booklet of coupons. Now you're swiping a card just like anybody else. The essential it's a complicated formula that determines who gets on and how much you get on. But the simple version of it would be it goes up to about 130% of the poverty line, which for a family of four, the poverty threshold is about $22,000. So up to something like $26,000, $27,000 for a family of four would be the basic eligibility.
And how many dollars worth of food per month per person?
on average about $130 per person in a family. So if you had a family of four, you'd be looking at something like $520 a month on average. But it varies widely depending on your child care and your shelter costs.
Jason, I want to speak with somebody right here who's just come on the rolls of food stamp users, Julie, in Omaha, Nebraska. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I am a 44-year-old woman. I live out in the suburbs in a beautiful community, and I'm a full-time student, and I'm on food stamps. My kids are on free lunch, and if it wasn't for these programs, we'd starve.
What about a job? Did you have one? Do you have one in addition to studying?
I do have a job. I'm a full-time student. I have a part-time work-study job. I do get some child support from my kid's father, but it's just not enough.
We were a
family making six figures back in California, and now, you know, here I am. It's amazing how quick things can change.
So at the first of every month, there's cash on the card, essentially, for you, Julie. Do you feel weird using it, or like you need it, you don't have a choice? What?
I feel I do need it. I don't have a choice. I worked full-time and contributed for a long, long time, so I don't feel like I'm a sponge, but it does feel strange. It's something I never, ever expected to have to rely on.
And do your neighbors know, or is it something you keep quiet? Does it matter to you if they know, or is it just people have to do it these days?
Well, I don't think I would be too shocked if I don't think I'd be too upset if my neighbors found out, but it's certainly not something I broadcast.
But it's a fact of life, and it gets your family through the month. Food stamps.
If it wasn't for food stamps and free lunch, my kids would be hungry, I'll take it. I'd rather have that than hungry kids.
Julie, thanks for calling from Omaha. Jason DePaul, we're going to talk in just a moment here with Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture. But what about this story? Is this what you found? Is this typical?
You know, Julie said she lived in a suburb. I think that's significant. This is the first recession in which a majority of the people in metro areas live outside the city limits. The majority of the poor, so the majority of poor people are living in the suburbs, and food stamp usage has risen fastest in traditionally affluent areas. So, yes, that is a typical story.
And not just a suburb, but a nice suburb, she says. And she is depending on food stamps. 36 million plus Americans now doing it, growing like crazy and in places people may never have expected to be on food stamps. We're joined right now from Washington, D.C. by Tom Vilsack. He is Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, former governor of Iowa. Secretary Vilsack, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, it's great to be with you all, and I want to thank Jason DePaul for his article at the New York Times, putting a different light on this issue and educating all of us about the extent of these programs and how there's been a tremendous increase in demand.
Tom Vilsack, I assume you essentially knew these numbers, and yet for most people this was eye-popping. I mean, 239 counties in the United States now where at least a quarter of the population receives food stamps. As Secretary of Agriculture, how do you look at this? Is this a godsend? Is this a problem? What's going on here?
Well, it's a half-empty, half-full glass. Obviously, the result of a very difficult economy has created high unemployment and a lot of stress in American families. And one of the ways in which that can become extraordinarily stressful is when families don't have sufficient resources to be able to take care of their food needs. One of the great things about the United States is that we do have these food assistance programs, and in recessionary times they are a very, very important tool. And in fact, they are part of a strategy to try to move people out of poverty. When you combine the SNAP program with the earned income tax credit and you raise the minimum wage, you begin the process of slowly moving people out of poverty. But when recessionary times hit, people lose their jobs. They have no place to go. It's a good thing we've got a SNAP program that's helping 36.5 million people in the country today, and I'm sure those numbers will continue to increase until we turn the economy around and we get people working again, which is the focus of the president today with the jobs.
At the White House, right? SNAP being the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the new name for the food stamp program.
This is really, really important. I'm really focused on this. It is very important for all of us to get rid of the nomenclature food stamps because it still carries with it the stigma that you all talked about earlier. And it makes it more difficult for people to feel comfortable participating in this program. This is about nutrition. It's about nutritional assistance It's about helping people through tough times.
But it's also an economic circumstance. I mean, you look at the map that the Times published of how deep and how wide this usage is, and it looks like it is an entire nation very densely dependent on government food handouts. What does it say to you about our economy, and are you confident we'll get away from this map? This map will look different in a couple of years or not.
I think they will. I don't think there's any question that we have put in place as a result of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act a three-pronged strategy to get ourselves out of this economic mess we're in. First, it's to help people transition from tough times to better times. That's SNAP benefits were increased. Family of four on the average is getting about $80 more in their SNAP payment, which is helpful. Unemployment insurance extended, tax credits and tax relief to working families. Second piece is to build infrastructure in this country to do the work that Americans want done. Roads, bridges, dams, sure, et cetera, are going to be done. And then third is to build an economy that will allow us to be competitive in the future. Now, that's all happening. In the meantime, it's going to be important for us to have SNAP programs. It's going to be important for states to make sure that they're doing everything they possibly can to get people qualified for these programs and to provide the assistance. And here's why. Because SNAP is an economic stimulus. A lot of people don't think of it this way. But the reality is, for every dollar we spend in SNAP, we generate about $1.82 in economic activity. If more groceries are sold, it means more groceries have to be stocked. People keep their jobs at the grocery store. The truckers keep their jobs. The processing folks keep their jobs. The farmers and ranchers continue to be able to sell their product.
We've just got you for half a minute. Do you have any qualms about it? Is there a moral hazard here in so many millions of Americans depending on the government for food?
I don't think so. I think that people obviously would prefer to be able to afford food from a decent paying job. That's what most people focus on. And I'm certain as people get reemployed, as this economy percolates again, you're going to see these numbers go down. But it's a good thing we've got this because it is a way in which people can at least maintain nutritional needs for their children. We have too many kids today in America that are hungry, and we've got to do something about that.
A way for 36 million plus Americans. Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture, former Governor of Iowa. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Secretary.
You bet. Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the exploding use of food stamps in America and what it means, what it says about our hard, hungry times. You can join the conversation. Are you on food stamps now for the first time, and why? What does it mean that one in eight Americans are on food stamps in the SNAP program, as Tom Vilsack said, and one in four American children? Is it a blessing that food stamps are there, a sign of crisis that so many need them? And if you're not on food stamps, are you stunned at the range of those who are? Jason DeParle is with us from Washington. He's with the New York Times. A big piece on Sunday laying out the numbers, and they are incredible numbers, about how many people in how many communities now depend every month on food stamps, the SNAP program, to help them get through. With me in the studio now, as well, as Tiziana Deering. She's president of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Boston. They help 150 to 200,000 people a year with a bunch of food pantries and services. Tiziana, thank you very much for being here.
Glad to be here.
What do you see going on in these numbers?
Well, you know, you said it a minute ago, is it a blessing and is it a crisis? And I think the answer is yes and yes. It's a blessing if people are going hungry that there's a way for them to eat. It's pretty basic, pretty straightforward, that there are this many people who are finding themselves in a need of temporary help. And I do agree it's temporary. Yes, that does indicate that there's an economic crisis going on where people are kind of clinging to the edges of making ends meet.
Were you surprised by these maps? You must have seen them. I mean, all over this country, deep, deep concentrations of SNAP program users, food stamp users. I mean, you run food pantries.
Yes.
So we know that food stamps alone clearly don't get the job done. A lot of people are beyond that looking for help. But were you surprised by this, or is this what you see every day?
Well, it is what we see every day. It can't help but be breathtaking to see it in map form like that across the country. But certainly, I mean, we were seeing increases a year and a half ago. This is not an immediately suddenly erupted in 2 months' time kind of problem. And we have seen extreme and rising need.
Jason, we want to look at that map with you, but let's hear from the country right out there. Mary in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Hello, Mary. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Tom. Yes, I'm a lady who at one point, you know, I was on food stamps too because I was a single mother raising three children by myself.
And I have no problem whatsoever with the concept of helping my brothers and sisters out. I'm happy to see my tax dollars do that.
Mm-hmm.
What I do have a problem with, though, and this is, you know, I'm a cashier at Walmart.
Okay.
I have a problem with the way the system is set up that allows people to, like, buy a few things and then get cash and then turn around and buy tobacco and alcohol. Or I also have rung up food stamp customers who 90% of what they buy is junk. It's garbage. It's like Little Eddie's.
You're a Walmart cashier, so you see it. Now, you say, when you say they get cash, they don't get cash change from their SNAP program card, do they? You mean they buy a few food stamp things and then have cash over left over for tobacco, let's say?
No, what they do is they'll buy a few things, and then the way there are in Tennessee, it's set up, they can get cash back from their EBT card.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can turn around, they can buy whatever they want to with that cash.
Well, you've been on food stamps yourself, Mary, so what does that leave you thinking? I mean, you may not like exactly what they buy, but you've known the need yourself.
I've known the need. And, you know, and I was very thankful, you know, and I'm very thankful now that I'm working and that I can pay back what the state of Tennessee and the federal government did for me. But it's just, I don't like the abuse of being able to buy junk food with the money, because it's supposed to be good, wholesome nutrition. It's supposed to be there to help families get food that's good for them.
Mary, we've got it right there from the checkout counter at Walmart, and thank you for your call. Jason DeParle, how does this work? Is each state different in the way people can use their cards, and what are they supposed to be used for?
Tom, I was listening to that with interest because I was just in southwestern Ohio, a very conservative working class part of the country where a lot of working people had looked at the food stamp program with great skepticism in the past. And in talking to 10 or 12 families that are newly on the program, almost all of them were persuaded that other people were misusing the program. Well, that they themselves were using it to buy good, healthy food for their kids, mm-hmm. and to feed their families, but other people had misused it. This is just something really deep in the culture, a widespread view that people are somehow misusing food aid. I mean, everybody's got a story about standing in a checkout counter and watching someone buy something that with food stamps that they think they shouldn't have gotten. You know, President Reagan used to talk about it as well. I'm not sure quite where it comes from. I'm sure out there, you know, somewhere people are buying potato chips and pop with food assistance, but they're also buying a lot of bread and cheese and milk and meat. So I don't have the impression that it's widely squandered.
Jason, take us on a tour of this map, if you would. Mary's calling from Tennessee, but take us right around the country, where the great concentrations are and the new concentrations of food stamp
usage. Yeah, the map would look – one of the interesting things about the maps we did is they looked very different depending on what you were mapping. Mm-hmm. If you were mapping which communities use the program the most, mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of which has the highest saturation of people on the program – you see these huge usage along the Mississippi River, down from Missouri down through across Tennessee, Memphis, through the Mississippi Delta, down into New Orleans. Lots of the people in those counties. You have counties where one out of four people and
half
places,
of children,
you know,
right down through that swath, half of children on food stamps.
Yeah. I mean, as much as half of kids. But if you ask where is it growing most rapidly, you get a very different looking map. And there you would see huge, thick concentrations along the southwest coast of Florida, the Fort Myers area, about 5-6 counties down from really from about Sarasota down to the Everglades. Where
the home foreclosure epicenter, yeah.
Same thing in outside of Nevada, parts of southern outside of Phoenix, include Maricopa County, parts of Southern California. So where you've seen large foreclosure rates, you'd see large increase of food stamp usage, and a lot of them are pretty affluent counties.
Tiziana,
Douglas County, California, Colorado, the wealthiest county in the Rocky Mountains, Forsyth County, Georgia, the wealthiest county in the southeast. Big rolls have more than doubled in both those places.
Tiziana, where have you seen, in what sectors have you seen the most growth in need?
Well, we've seen some strong correspondence between unemployment and coming
sure.
in, you know, particularly. Well, yes and no, because you can be grossly underemployed, you can be the working poor, but I think when you're looking at increase, it's people falling off of jobs, you know, losing those jobs, having unemployment wear out as well, and having to make really difficult choices mm-hmm. between the things you're responsible for. And if there's help available somewhere and you're smart and resourceful, you're going to get the help.
Mm-hmm.
So
in they come people who may not ever have been on food stamps before, but suddenly there's no job. Their income is down. They're eligible.
That's right.
And they come for it.
That's right.
Jason DePaul reports one American city, Peoria, Illinois, every town, USA, as he describes it, with nearly 40% of children receiving SNAP program or food stamp aid. I want to reach out to Peoria right now and to Mike Joseph. He's produce merchandising rep for Kroger Supermarkets in the Peoria area, based out of the store on North Lindbergh Street in Peoria. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
Have you seen in your store, in your stores, the increase in food stamp usage?
Yes, I have. I mean, we see it all the time, but it's really grown in the last year, what they're shopping for, that customer.
And does it change the kind of things people are buying or when and how they're buying, Mike?
Yes, it does. We see a lot of the trend now going to the lower price, the value brand, coming off the national brand, going to our Kroger product, our Kroger manufactured item.
And even within Kroger brands, as I understand it, you've got sort of upper, middle, and lower tier brands, and the value, the sort of the cheapest stuff, getting the biggest usage.
Yeah, it's really increased in the last year, that value brand has. We have a private selection and a Kroger and a value brand, but the low-end brand, the value brand, has seen a huge increase.
Now, people just swipe a card at the cash register. How high does food stamp usage get at some of those cash registers?
I don't have the numbers offhand, but very, very high at some of the inner-city stores.
Like? Half? More than half?
Over 50% of their business, yeah. I mean, we see a large increase in the first 5 days of the month, so you can see when that money is coming in.
That's the money, the cash, has just, in effect, come onto their card?
Correct.
How do you think about it when you see this, Mike? Do you say, well, we've got a bad economy and good thing it's here, or what?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, for helping the families in need, and especially the children in need, and needless to say, it's good for our business, too.
What can they buy and not buy anywhere, or in your Kroger stores in Peoria with the SNAP card?
You can buy any kind of food item as long as it's not hot food. You can still buy a ready-to-eat fried chicken as long as it's cold, but if it's hot, you cannot buy it.
And shopping patterns headed down. What about organic stuff and health food? I mean, people say, how can we have an obesity crisis if we've got a hunger problem or a food problem? What are people buying with these cards in those terms? Organic health nut food or, high fat food?
A little bit of everything. I think you have your customer that shops healthy and tries to stretch that dollar as far as they can, and then you have that customer that's for the convenience also.
Jason DePaul, what do you hear in our little witness here from Mike Joseph in Peoria?
I'd be interested if Mr. Joseph has seen a spike at the first of the month when the cards are reloaded. One of the people I talked to in Southwest Ohio worked in a Kroger store as a contractor installing lighting, and he said at midnight, once a month when the cards were reloaded, he would see crowds gathering in the stores.
Yeah, that is the case here, too, because the money is loaded on the card at midnight. Actually, a couple of our stores in the Peoria area that are not 24-hour stores, this last month we just opened up on that one night.
Wow.
To get that local, maybe that customer that doesn't drive that needs to go to the grocery store.
And coming in with a loaded card, maybe coming in hungry. Mike, stand by. Let's go to Adam in Charleston, South Carolina. Adam, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Oh, I'm well. What do you think, Adam?
Well, I've got a problem with the whole idea of the complacency of American people, or some of the folks that you've been talking to. Mainly, a point. I'm sure she's not the only one. Your first caller, she said she came from an affluent suburb,
and Omaha. Yeah.
Congratulations for making the six figures in California, but it seems like there might be people that are living outside of their means and relying on the system when it's not really, I also can graduate or go into school, but maybe right now is not the best time. Maybe she should spend that time getting a second job and trying to support her family a little bit more. I mean, it seems like she's got money coming in, child support, a job, and then she's spending full time at school, and that's great. But I just feel like she said that is common sentiment, I think, from some people, that she said, I put so much money into the system already, now it's my turn to get some back. I don't agree with that.
And you worry about it. We hear it, Adam, and thank you for your call. Mike Joseph, I mean, your Kroger stores benefit, in a way, from the government money coming in on these cards, but what about the qualms of someone like Adam, who's listening to these to a story and says, I just don't like the sound. People should go out and get a second job, work more.
Well, I think everybody has their opinion when it comes to that, and you're going to have people abuse the system no matter how the system works. But not to say that person was doing that, but you'll have that with anything.
Yeah, Mike Joseph, produce merchandising rep at for Kroger Supermarkets around Peoria, Illinois. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Tiziana with me in the studio. You hear Adam's concern, complaint, qualms out of Charleston. What about it? You see people in need all the time, but
yes.
On the other hand, of course, you know, you need a little incentive to get up in the morning and work.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, though, in our experience, most people really want to provide for themselves and their mm-hmm. families. If they've got the choice between doing it themselves or having to ask somebody else for help, they're going to do it themselves. You know, you've got a time vector that goes on here, too. You know, we're using this first caller as an example. Maybe she's three quarters of the way through that. Would anybody reasonably want somebody to sink all that cost and then just not finish?
Drop out of school,
right.
Pluck chickens, whatever, and not get... Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we come up against is, you know, poverty forces you to make choices between building a future and dealing with the right now. And one of the things that a SNAP program, for example, can do is help you even that out so that maybe you can deal with your right now, but also put yourself in a situation where you got a chance for assets in a future and to get your way back out of poverty again. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Jason DePaul, American attitudes have really changed and varied over time. I mean, Ronald Reagan was very, very tough on food stamps, and the country swung against it under George W. Bush, swung back, and now it's bigger than ever. What do you see in attitudes out there, Jason?
That's of all the things about this, the growth and the trends. That's one of the most remarkable to me is how much the political attitudes towards this program have changed just in a little over a decade. I mean, in the mid 1990s, many conservatives viewed food stamps as just another form of welfare. And when President Clinton promised to end welfare, a lot of the Republicans in Congress tried to end the food stamp program too. I mean, it was a real target for the conservative movement for a while, and it swung wildly under President Bush, embraced it as a nutrition assistance program, and made big efforts to try to expand it. So, you know, I think the country is unresolved as to how much this is appropriate assistance and how much it creates a moral hazard. I mean, they're both attitudes in probably in many people, and certainly now we're in a time of economic crisis, so the instinct to help takes precedence. But as the economy improves, if the rolls don't go down substantially, I think there is a risk of seeing some political backlash against the program.
Let's hear from Ronald in Worcester, Massachusetts, right here. Hi, Ron, you're on the air.
Hi there. I totally agree. At one point, I used to be on food stamps, and then I got several jobs since then. And right now, I'm driving trucks all over the nation, and I think our primary goal should be to go from welfare to work and have jobs a priority. Welfare is great, and food stamps for temporary, but it shouldn't be a way of life. That's my opinion.
We got it, but it sounds as though, you know, you've worked a lot but still knew at some point the need.
Yes, like I said, it's a great crutch, or when you need help, it's there, which I appreciate it. But the problem with America is most people want to sit back and get a freebie from the government, and we're losing our will to work and strengthen our country.
Well,
jobs are overseas.
You may be right. On the other hand, there's an awful lot of people who want jobs and can't get them right now. Ronald, thanks for calling, Tiziana. I mean, there's the tension as well. Sure, free food is nice, but who wouldn't rather have a job that pays decently where you can buy what you want when you like?
Absolutely. And, you know, we do a lot of job training, English as a second language training, that kind of thing. And those the wait lists on those things are tremendous. People want to work. People want to provide for themselves and their families. They want to show their kids that they can support them. I just think that's natural human nature. I don't think something has suddenly happened that we're not a bootstrapping country anymore. But the jobs aren't there, and when unemployment is high, people have got to make ends meet.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the exploding use of food stamps in America and what it means, what it says about our hard, hungry times. 1 in 8 Americans with help from the SNAP program. 1 in 4 children growing like crazy. 36 million plus people now. Another 15 or 16 who could be on it and who may be if the economy doesn't get better at some point. Jason DePaul's been writing about it. For the New York Times, he joins us today from Washington, and it's great to have him. Also with me in the studio, Tiziana Deering. She's president of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Boston, just one of many hubs where food is being distributed by private food pantries and others in great quantities as well. There's clearly a need out there. 800-423-8255. Tanya in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Tanya, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention that food. I'm personally on food stamps. I have a 4-year-old son. I've been receiving them for a while, and I know for me that I possibly could have a job. I go to school full time at UMass, and it really wouldn't be feasible for me to find a job, even full time or part time, because as a woman, I really wouldn't make enough money. And if I did work, I'd have to be paying child care as well as food care, health care. I would be making less money then than I do now. And I know as more men lose their jobs in this recession, there's going to be more female-headed households. And I think this is probably something that's going to increase.
Tanya, do you look at food stamps as a help, as a right? I mean, what about those who say, well, you know, quit school, get a job, whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, I did work for 10 years or more than 10 years, and I do kind of feel like I did put money into it. Not that it's necessarily a right, but it's there for me to use if I need it. I fully intend to get a job once I'm out of school, but I do think that unless I have a bachelor's degree and maybe even a master's degree, I'm really not going to be able to support myself and my son.
Yeah, Tanya, good luck to you, and thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your being there. Let's get one more right here from Danbury, Connecticut. Philo. Philo, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I'm a 34-year-old white male on food stamps. I got to tell you, I'm disabled, and it took me a while to even be able to get the food stamps. And now I'm even 2 years later of fighting with the state, still on welfare food stamps. And I got to say, it drives me nuts seeing some of the people in there that are definitely abusing the food stamps, and I got to go into social services all the time. Some of the college students, I understand, it's better to be on food stamps for a minute and go to school than to be on food stamps forever. So that kind of thing I can understand.
Philo, how do you know they're abusing the program and not, I don't know, in real need?
Well, some of them, I don't necessarily mean they're abusing them. They definitely are in need, but some of them definitely didn't pay into the system. Illegal immigration is another topic.
All kinds of people on. Philo, thanks for your call. Jason, what about in terms of age or in terms of, ethnicity? How does it break down? That's been another subject. Historically, Ronald Reagan went that in a very racially tinged way.
Well, I think there are two important points to keep in mind here. When the rolls have gone up by 10 million people in the last 2 years, it's not because 10 million people are rushing into college and going on food stamps who weren't on the program before. It's being driven by the foreclosure crisis and by unemployment. So, yes, there are some students who are eligible for food stamps, but that's not what's driving the numbers up. And illegal immigrants are not eligible at all. Period. So,
okay.
In fact, legal immigrants in many cases are not eligible. Legal immigrants, people who are here legally. So the recent increase is not being driven by either of those things. The last caller mentioned that he was disabled. About one out of four food stamp households contains a disabled person. So there's a very high usage among disabled people.
And what about the way race has come into our political conversation about this over the years? I mean, you remind us of Ronald Reagan sort of waving this as an example of welfare gone awry.
When Ronald Reagan ran for president in 1976, he talked about seeing a, quote, young buck on food stamps, buying steaks in the grocery line with food stamps. Young buck being a very racially tinged term referring to a young African-American male. I think the program, you know, has always been politically tinged as being slanted towards heavy minority use. But if you look at the data, certainly because minorities are more likely to be poor, they're more likely to be on food stamps. But part of what strikes me about it, having written about a lot of other poverty programs, is how broad and diverse the food stamp population is. It contains a lot of kids. It contains a lot of old people. It contains a substantial number of disabled. It contains able-bodied working people. It cuts across all races. It cuts across all geographies. It's the safety net, really, of last resort. And so it reaches a more varied mix of the poverty population than I think any other poverty program.
Let's turn our microphone right out to Nashville, and Allison. Hi, Allison. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story, Allison?
I haven't even received my first card yet for the food stamps. I'm 32 years old, and this is the first time that I've ever had to even consider a process like this. I have a college education. I started my own business 2 years ago in the fitness industry, which is a slow-building business to begin with, and took a huge hit with the recession. And, you know, I pick up extra jobs, waiting tables. That doesn't pay as much as it has in the past. People don't go out to eat as much, you know, and I finally made a choice between having to pay rent or trying to buy groceries to feed my children, and it was a constant worry. You know, I've got $400, and do I spend $100 this week on groceries, or do I save it and pay the rent? So finally, I just decided that it was something that had to be done, and I went to the DHS office and stood in the line, which was very humiliating. I 100% agree with the lady in the studio who said that most people do want to provide for their families. Nobody wants to go through that process. It's not a fun process. The paperwork and the bureaucracy it's ridiculous. You know, they're overwhelmed totally. And, you know, so I think that it is an issue that everybody, you know, you have to make a choice, and it's a hard choice, but at this point it's, you know, we have to eat. So, and we do work in our family. We have jobs. They're just not paying what they should, and so here we are.
Allison, it is a tough story, and it is not, unfortunately, today a rare story. We thank you for sharing it with us. Thanks for calling in from Nashville. I want to turn right now to Ohio, Mason, Ohio, and David Young. He's president of the Board of Commissioners of Warren County, Ohio, also a small business owner. David Young, Commissioner Young, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Tom.
Your county, like all counties in this country, has food stamp recipients. You've expressed some pretty vocal qualms about it. You hear Allison's story right there in Nashville. You know, she's juggling jobs, waiting tables, and all the rest. Can't make ends meet. Does that sound to you like a proper food stamp recipient? She's trying to feed her kids.
Yeah, from my standpoint, we have a tremendous heart for the working poor, especially the people that are out there trying to make ends meet and are having a momentary hard time about it. The biggest problem, and again, I want to be perfectly clear, I personally support the food stamp program as an important safety net. We clearly do not want people starving to death in this country. That's just not an option. And honestly, it's not going to happen, and it's not happening. I think even if you look at the malnutrition levels in this country, that is not a problem. And I think there's a difference between hunger and malnutrition. We do not have a malnutrition problem in this country.
And yet, we just had a Department of Agriculture report out earlier this month saying food insecurity is hitting almost 50 million people now. So, I mean, that's sobering. On the other hand, you look at the map of the country that Jason lays out and how many people and how many places are using food stamps, and you just wonder about our economy and what's going on with it, David Young.
True, but also when you look at your own website today, New England Journal of Medicine puts out a report about obesity overtaking soon. Smoking is the number one health problem we have in this country.
Maybe so. That's from too much, I don't know, government cheese.
Right. I mean, and it's just again, I support the program. It's an important safety net. But where we in Warren County had a serious problem with the program is some of the recipients. That we in Ohio, when they changed the rules under President Bush a couple of years ago, essentially the means testing, the resource testing was done away with. And people say this is an urban legend and it doesn't really happen. It absolutely does happen. You have what I would consider wealthy people coming in and getting food stamps right now, happens every day, because in Ohio, all you have to do is prove that you don't have any income. They do not look at the car you drive. They do not look at the value of your home. They do not look if you have a mortgage on your home. They don't look if you have $1 million in your retirement account. It's clearly based on income, and we've had it happen in Ohio where people that are quote-unquote rich people, wealthy people, are coming in and getting food stamps. It's almost becoming too easy to get onto the program.
So what would you like to see happen? To take into account all of people's assets, their house, their car, not just what they've got in the checking account?
Absolutely. I think that's what made America great, is the self-determination of its people, that we are a hard-working people, we're an innovative people, we're an entrepreneurial people. That's what made this country great. And again, by the grace of God, it's not me or my family that needs it right now. It is an important safety net, but it's the last resort. It's not, hey, I lost my job. I live in a $300,000 house with no mortgage on it. I'm going to go apply for $600 a month in food stamps just because I can. That attitude is what's eventually going to have serious, serious ramifications to our whole system.
David Young, President of the Board of Commissioners in Warren County, Ohio. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Young.
Yes, sir.
Tiziana, how do you hear this story? I mean, on the one hand, you said it yourself before, you know, people are trying not to lose their footing in this economy. They don't want to have to sell, everything and live in the street. On the other hand, you know, David Young says, well, if you're living in a $300,000 house, even if you're low on cash and unemployed, maybe you should be getting out of that house to buy food.
Well, you know, first, we don't make our public policy decisions based on a few exceptions, especially exceptions that make us mad. And mm-hmm. I got to believe if there's somebody out there who's collecting, you know, SNAP benefits, who's got a $300,000 home and no mortgage, that's really an exception. Mm. So, A, I don't want to mm-hmm. see us make our public policy decisions based on mm-hmm. rare exceptions. Mm-hmm. B, we got to bring back into focus the vector of time. You can't eat your house and you mm-hmm. can't eat your car. Mm-hmm. And you may, but you can fall into economic vulnerability and crisis really fast mm-hmm. with a sickness, a loss of a job, maybe a couple of combination of things. Mm-hmm. So there is a time factor here mm-hmm. as well. If you're hungry today, right, maybe that house is on the market mm-hmm. or maybe mm-hmm. you're having trouble paying that mortgage. So I just don't think it's that simple. I can say again, our experience is it's based on need. People come for help when they've got need. And I don't think we want to set a situation where we want to deprive people of all assets before they can get help, because everything we know says when you have no assets, it becomes incredibly hard to get back out of poverty again. And that's where we want people to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Auburn, Alabama, and Leslie. Leslie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Leslie.
I am a new recipient of food stamps. I'm a single mom, graduate student in Auburn, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make the point that I think we need to be really careful from the social perspective and the societal perspective of the types of judgments that we make on those that are receiving food stamps. And that if people really do have issues with the food stamp programs and all that type of stuff, then they need to really move politically instead of sort of making some of these personal judgments on people. I think that obviously food stamp recipients are kind of stratified. There are people that are abusing it. There are people that are, you know, using it temporarily, people that are, you know, making it a lifestyle, that kind of thing. We can't really make those personal judgments. So my point really is just to kind of make sure that people, you know, aren't making these kind of personal judgments about food stamp recipients.
Leslie, we hear it loud and clear. And clearly, when you look at the map and how widespread the usage is now and how it's grown, there's a huge economic systemic issue here as well. There's no question about that. Jason DePaul, how do you listen to all this? Having done the reporting you've done, there can be a moral hazard. On the other hand, there's a great need. The numbers that you've shown us clearly indicate the extent of that need.
I'm surprised by how many students are calling in, Tom.
Everybody's in grad school.
A comment on public radio demographic more than food stamp usage. You know, the unemployed construction workers and electricians and laborers and landscapers and waiters and hotel maids. We haven't heard from them. I think their numbers are much greater in the program than I'm a little concerned.
Well,
with
we
that.
Well, we had Allison waiting tables there and yeah, juggling her jobs, yeah. and our truck driver.
I wouldn't want to leave people with the impression that this is a student aid program.
Fair enough. Let me get one more. James in Nashville, Tennessee. James, you're on the air.
I think that there's a great moral imperative. All right, why is everybody so worried about these exceptions that may be getting an advantage or taking advantage and getting ahead of them? I mean, why don't they just work as hard as they can and mind their own business and be charitable to those who have nothing or, you know, little at all? My father owned a supermarket in Lowndes County, Alabama from 1977 to 2003, and that the majority of our business was food stamp. And, you know, I saw the evolution of the WIC program and of food stamps and all the different administrations with the changes, but by and large, it's the underprivileged and it's the children that are being fed. And I mean, these people that live in such a gilded or in such a, they need to go out and do some volunteer work and do something for somebody that doesn't have anything and see what it's really like.
See it firsthand. James, our time is short, but we've got it, and I thank you for that. Tiziana, I mean, here we are. There's a job summit at the White House today. We clearly need jobs in this country so that people can have the satisfaction of the job and the paycheck to buy that food.
Yeah, we do. And in fact, I think I've come to understand that myself in doing this work in a whole new way. This is about jobs. The other thing that last caller said is this is about kids. Mm-hmm. This is about nutrition for kids. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to thrive. We want them to be able to learn. We want them to be able to pay attention in school and go on and be, you know, participating members of society themselves. And kids are inherently vulnerable, and if they need food, they need food.
You're with the Catholic charities. What are the lines like at your food pantries these days?
Well, you know,
food stamps.
Yeah, they're huge. You know, demand is way, way up. We moved from in one of our pantries averaging 4,000 pounds of food a month to 11,000 pounds in 3.5 days.
So that is another indicator right there of need. Wow. Well, it's very eye-opening to see the numbers and to hear the experiences, to read about them from you, Jason DePaul, in your great report for the New York Times, and to hear them from our callers today and from your experience, Tiziana. Jason, thank you very much for your work and for joining us in this hour.
Thank you, Tom.
And Tiziana Deering, president of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Boston, right in our backyard here. Tiziana, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for your calls. You can continue the conversation at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.